Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple of dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Dan.
Yep.
These intros are becoming very tortured in the length that they are taking. And I, for one, feel like the intro should be short, should be tight. You get in, you get out, you make sure
but
that everybody knows.
But how do we do that?
I don't know, Dan. I don't know.
Let's have right now a 15-minute symposium on how to shorten the intros of the show.
Absolutely.
Let's do
that.
I
think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's good use of our and our listeners' time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I say that brevity is the soul of wit. How
Indeed.
Say you?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Anyway, this is a show where I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And today it doesn't fucking matter because we're talking about Project Camelot.
Hey!
So,
well, then that means the Elysian space dust that we are drinking today is right on target.
Fairly appropriate.
Yeah.
And that should be not too much of a surprise to anybody. As I told you, I believe this was on air.
You did say that last week that you had a couple of Project Camelot episodes to go
and
through.
And it just keeps going.
Okay.
She is
Monday becomes Camelot Day?
She is making up for lost time when she was in Egypt and dumping a lot of shit on our plates.
All right. I love it.
In the foreseeable future, while you have your Zanies month here in May, at least we will be doing Project Camelot on our Monday live streams.
Fantastic.
So that's what we're doing today. Very exciting. Thrilled to be doing it. Vamping while I get our headphones
there you go.
Right.
Perfect.
Before we get to it, though, I'd like to give a couple shout-outs to a couple new donors.
Hey!
First of all, I'd like to say thank you so much to Josephine.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Josephine. Thanks for joining the club?
I call it a team.
The team. All right.
We appreciate it. You're now a policy wonk.
Absolutely.
Also, I'd like to thank somebody who took their donation, bumped it up.
Hell yeah!
You're now a globalist. Thank you so much, Doug.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom.
And very exciting. There's a lot of confusion. There are multiple Dougs who donate to the show.
Okay.
And I'm doing a terrible job differentiating between them. There's a number of people with the same name. We got a number of mics in the mix.
Uh-huh.
I'm not doing a good job, but if you hear your name, we appreciate you. So
even if it's not your name,
exactly.
It's specific. Even if it's not you, we're still representing the Dougs and the Mikes in the world.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, Jordan.
You know what? Actually, I did check our iTunes statistics. We are fairly low in the overall rankings. We're not in the top 20 yet.
You don't say.
But in Dougs and Mikes. Number one, huge. Number one, all Dougs, all Mikes listen to the show.
Huge.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that iTunes keeps that kind of statistic.
It's really crazy.
Yeah, that really helps us out.
It's maybe a little bit not good.
Are you a Doug? Do you like audio? Check this out.
In recommended podcasts,
most
Dougs like this show.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 Dougs agree. Knowledge Fight, pretty good. So, today, like I said, we are talking Project Camelot.
Let's do it.
For everybody out there who doesn't know, who doesn't listen to our show on a totally regular basis every now and again, we have to go and dip our toes into the murky waters of the secret space program and Carrie Cassidy's show that she does on YouTube called Project Camelot, where she talks to crazy people.
It's interesting that the world is so insane, the only way to relieve ourselves of the insanity is to raise the bar
right.
a lot higher.
Yeah, take it to the fun level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I gotta say, I think from some of the research that I've done, it seems like the guy we're going to be talking about today likes to sue people.
Okay. So, I'm liking that. I can handle a lawsuit.
We might have to be careful.
We're
going to
represent
words.
Ourselves in court, Dan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So here is the introduction where Carrie gets going with her interview, and I'm not going to tell you anything about what's going on until we get to it. That's my way of saying no setup.
Gotcha.
Okay, Simon, it's lovely to have you on my show. This is completely bizarre, but YouTube seems to have stopped working, at least for the moment. And we're going to check back in on that during this conversation. But yep. We figured we'd bring you on live here just because we shouldn't let anything stop us, right?
Well done.
I love that.
Well done.
Well done. So they're live.
Ain't nothing going to stop us now, Dan.
They're live on Facebook because Carrie believes
YouTube has just stopped working.
That's one theory.
Right.
And her other theory is that she's being hacked slash attacked.
Could be.
There's attacks going on.
You know how people DDoS YouTube channels all the time?
Absolutely.
That's absolutely the way it
goes. They don't want the information to get out
there. No.
So just for fun, I'm going to drop some knowledge on you about her guest before we get into anything.
Uh-huh.
Her guest is a guy named Simon Parks.
Simon Parks.
Not to be confused with another Simon Parks.
The one who likes to do drawings?
No, there's a guy who got arrested for like tying a pig's head to a mosque in London and spray painting racial slurs, and that was not him.
That wasn't him.
No, same name, not him.
Provable.
Yes, I've seen pictures of both of them. It's not the same
Have
guy.
Have you ever seen him in the same room?
No, but I've never been to
Plastic
UK.
Surgery is still a thing.
That's true. It's not him.
It could be a Mission Impossible style mask.
It's not him. Okay. I just wanted to make sure in case like some of our listeners Google or anything get the wrong idea. Why didn't you talk about this? Man, it's not him. There's also another, there's an adventurer who went missing named Simon Parks. This is not that guy.
Okay. Well, if he did go missing and then wound up on Project Camelot, that would make the most sense.
Check out.
Yeah.
I'm
imagining she's about to have Amelia Earhart on next.
I'm going to read to you from a Huffington Post article in 2013 about Simon Parks.
Okay.
Quote, a labor counselor has claimed he has fathered a child with an alien and that the regular sex he has with an extraterrestrial is causing tension in his human marriage.
It would. So far, everything tracks logically.
He's in an elected office.
Wait, what?
He's
an MP?
No, he's a counselor.
He's
like
a counselor.
Local. I think it's like a mayor of a small town or something like that.
All right.
Or like
All right.
a council person.
I like it.
I think council person is the equivalent.
You love it.
Simon Parks, who represents Stakesby-on-Whitby Town Council.
Great. Is that the name of the city?
Stakesby-on-Whitby, yes.
All right, good.
He represents their town council, told the Northern Echo he has had a child called Zarka with an alien he refers to as the Cat Queen. Not Contessa, the Black Panther beast being.
Okay. She's just... Her name is the Cat Queen?
That's what he refers to her as.
You know, that's not a very intimate relationship.
Certainly not.
No.
You're going to learn why.
If you're using honorifics with the person who is the mother of your child, or person of your child's birth, I don't know.
I swear every single sentence like makes this weirder.
Okay.
Check this sentence.
Okay.
The driving instructor, who has three children with his human wife.
Wait. He's a driving instructor.
By career, yes.
That shouldn't be allowed.
Driving instructor who's also on the town council of Stakesby on Whitby.
Yeah, you know, I got my driver's license from a guy who fucked an alien.
So he has three children with his human wife.
Right.
Said that the intercourse...
Important distinction to make.
He says that the intercourse with the alien happens about four times a year. Quote, what will happen is that we will hold hands, and I will say, I'm ready. And then the technology...
Okay, all right.
And then...
at least she's getting consent.
Fair.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, and then the technology I don't understand will take us up to a craft orbiting the Earth, he said.
Right.
The labor politician has also claimed he was abducted by extraterrestrials as a child, and that his real mother is a 9-foot-tall alien with 8 fingers.
All right.
He said...
8 total or per hand?
I think it's total.
How many hands does she have?
That's a great question. He does not specify.
Okay.
He said, quote, it's a personal matter and doesn't affect my work.
It is a personal matter.
He mixes business.
It is a personal matter.
Sure.
It's against the law to fire him for mental illness. That's for true.
I'm more interested in fixing someone's leaking roof or potholes. People don't want me to talk about aliens.
Agreed.
I get more common sense out of the aliens than out of Scarborough Town Hall.
Okay.
Wink.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Fellow counselor Terry Jennison told the...
There are fellow counselors who are just... Okay. All right.
He told the Yorkshire Post, quote, I'm completely in the dark about this.
Well, it is a personal matter, Dan. It's a person. They're co-workers. You keep your personal and your professional life separate. That's just good politics.
But that quote on background is amazing.
It's perfect.
I'm in the dark on this.
Don't ask me. No comments.
So then I found another article from the Daily Star in 2015. And it says, quote, the article starts, opponents of Simon Parks accused the 53-year-old of turning Whitby Town Council in North Yorks into a laughingstock with outlandish beliefs and conspiracy theories about government cover-ups, UFOs, non-humans, and the Illuminati. Earlier this year, he claimed that the armed separatist conflict in Ukraine had been sparked by an alien race called the Nordics, advising Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Close enough.
Sure.
Might as well be true.
But at the same time, that's not keeping this separate from your work. This is over.
Now, hold on. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What are his policy positions? Because frankly, if he's just a really good counselor who believes insane shit, mm-hmm. isn't that better than a normal guy
Maybe.
Who is trying to pass a tax cut?
Maybe.
I'm all for this shit.
I would say
I would take this guy over Paul Ryan any fucking day of the week, and you can quote me on that alien newspaper.
I would say that there's not a lot of Nordic-related issues in the Stakesby on Whitby community,
right.
So maybe he could keep it separated.
If he is all about fixing potholes and trying to bring jobs to Whitby, then fuck yeah, I'm all for it.
So let me finish this article here.
It's still going.
Well, this is the one from 2015. This is when he's stepping down from office.
Okay.
Driving instructor Mr. Park...
not the way to start that sentence.
He announced yesterday he was resigning as a labor counselor for Statesby Ward because his workload left no time for his civic duties.
Well,
I need more time to teach people to drive.
Hey, business is good.
Fair enough. Former Whitby mayor and leading local Tory Scarborough counselor Dorothy Clegg said, quote, I don't think my real opinion of this is printable.
Mainly because her real opinion is just this fucking guy.
Exactly,
come on.
Yeah.
What is this fucking guy? Mm. But once again, she's a Tory mayor, which makes her a worse person on the whole.
I mean, possibly, but I just love the idea that these articles reached out to other people and their answers are like, I'm in the dark about this,
or nope.
You couldn't print what I have to say about this. Yeah,
a hard pass, guys.
So that gives you a little bit of the flavor of Simon Parks before we jump into this.
I really want to take a look at his voting record because I bet it's fucking astonishingly good.
Possibly.
Like, I bet this dude is a huge Corbyn supporter. Like, this guy is all about income inequality being an issue, and I don't think it matters if what he really thinks is that income inequality is an issue because the Nordics are calling it.
Right.
I think it's good. Mm. I'm all about it.
So
Tories are worse than people who believe in aliens.
So I had intended for the series of episodes.
Not believe in aliens ever. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
You understand.
I'd intended for our Project Camelot series to be the new Mark Richards episode, which was last week.
Right.
And then this week we were going to find out about
Mark Richards episode.
No, the people who remote viewed the Moses.
Oh, right.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, of course.
But then this came out, and it kind of relates to Mark Richards.
Okay.
So I've got to get this in immediately off the heels.
Oh, does he know Minerva?
No, but he does know some of the aliens.
Okay. Wait, like the same aliens?
Well, you'll remember in that last Mark Richards episode, they talked about some concerns that Carrie had about things he was saying about the mantis beings.
Right.
Because...
So we've got some disagreement on the mantis beings.
Well, we got issues.
We got issues,
and,
right.
Here's where we start to get into it.
So why don't you go ahead and we were going to talk about the mantid agenda. That's one of the big subjects here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because Brett Stewart had done a remote viewing. And he...
Real quick, I watched a good bit of Brett Stewart's remote viewing. And man, it looks good. I mean, not the remote viewing, the video itself.
Oh, okay.
He has a nice...
It's shot really well. There's a lot of...
Yeah, he has a nice video and he's a good looking dude.
Uh-huh.
And he has a lot of views. And he also has a Patreon. And
this
is petty. We have five times the amount of donors.
You don't want to donate to that, but you do want to watch the fuck out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
The reason his remote viewing even matters is that Brett Stewart and his team got excellent results when they viewed the Nazca aliens. And so that's why we really want to be able to talk about that, because they were dead on before Gaia TV and their investigative team came up with answers. Brett Stewart and his team, which was a very small team, just him and one other person, on that particular story.
Not even really a team, more of a partnership.
Bullseye. Everything checked out in terms of the real world.
How?
I
What do you mean?
Love
what
this.
What do you mean?
Also, my perhaps absolute favorite part of this is all the stuff that I am just like, of course.
Yeah.
Like, all of the stuff that I just ignore. Like, oh, yeah, no. Of course. You know, fuck the gay agenda.
Mm.
What is the mantid agenda? I'm fine with this.
We'll get to the mantid agenda in a little bit.
Just wash over all of this stuff.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
We saw that his remote viewing got great results. I don't even know what good to great results would be, let alone bad results.
He nailed the fucking Nazca lines before anybody else did.
Right.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means that it
aliens,
checks out with the real world.
Checks out with the real world.
It matches a hallucination another crazy person had.
Right.
That's basically.
Do they ever have bad remote viewings where like the connection isn't good and they like?
Hold on.
Okay.
Because that might be what we're dealing with in the case of this
okay.
remote viewing.
All right.
I don't want to tip my hat too early.
Okay.
But Simon, not a fan of this remote viewing. But anyway, here we go.
So that's kind of a unique situation in which a remote viewer has gotten, real evidence remote viewing is accurate. So when he remote viewed recently, what in essence was the Urantia book, the author of Urantia book, was the target as well. He ended up with the mantids, and then he ended up with information about the mantid agenda.
Ooh, the mantid agenda.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is their agenda?
We're going to find out. I promise.
Okay.
I'm not teasing.
All right. What's the author of the Urantia book?
The Urantia book.
Urantia book. Sorry.
Do you know about
I kind of mixed that in Sriracha, I think.
Yeah.
It's a spicy book. There it is.
Always have it on hand.
Always.
Do you know what the Urantia book is?
No clue.
So it's a book. Spoiler
Urantia,
alert.
I Rancha. All right.
I just prefer El
Let's
Rancho.
Call the whole thing off.
Nice Mexican restaurant in Columbia, Missouri. Delicious. Love the queso.
Oh, yeah, yeah. El Rancho, the ranch made of gold. I remember that.
It's El Dorado.
Oh, whatever.
Look, it's a book. I keep it in a nook.
All right.
And has Christianity shook.
Nope.
It's a bunch.
I was fine with the second pun. Minus one.
I hate that.
For the Christian shook.
So it's a bunch of like channeled material that has to do with like the true nature of the universe. And,
of course.
We're in a different solar system than we perceive ourselves to be in. And there's lots of aliens around.
Okay.
And then the final part of it is like a complete reinterpretation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. I like that. I'm down.
There's something. We'll get into some of it here.
The current one kind of sucks, so let's just jump into it.
We'll get into some of that here in a little bit, but the idea that this guy, Brett, I can't remember his last name.
Who cares?
But Brett set out to remote view the author of the Urantia book, and he found mantis beings.
Wait. Behind him while he was authoring it, or just like around him?
They were the inspiration for it or whatever. But like, so
he was giving high fives while writing the book.
I did a lot of looking into the Urantia book.
That's a good idea.
Because I was like, what the fuck is this?
Okay.
So I started looking into it. And so here's the story of the Urantia book.
Okay.
This is perhaps one of the weirdest things that we're ever going to have accidentally stumbled into. So it was written by this guy named Dr. William Sadler.
All right. I do not trust the doctor in front of his name.
He did study with Freud for a year.
Well, then I really don't trust the doctor in front of his name.
So he claimed that he wrote the Urantia book with the help of a mysterious individual, another man.
Mantid.
No. So Sadler was a devout Seventh-day Adventist, and he was married to Lena Celestia Kellogg, niece of John Harvey Kellogg, inventor of cornflakes, founder of the Race Betterment Foundation, and all-around lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a crazy dude.
Man of the three enemas per day is a great way to live your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
never
yeah.
Never touch your dick.
Oh, man. Never.
Never.
Never! It'll steal your energy!
A lot better breakdowns of the Kellogg's have been done in the past. There's a great dollop about it if you want to listen
right,
to
right,
it.
Right, right,
so we're not going to get...
Short version. Wackadoo crazy.
Nuts. And
a
lot of it came from
a brother
from
his... with great business acumen who turned cornflakes into something amazing.
Yeah.
The asshole who is like, clean your butt. Not great.
And a lot of it, man, a lot of it had roots in Seventh-day Adventist beliefs.
Right.
A lot of it had to do with, like, eugenics-y beliefs, too.
Of course.
They had a deep interest in...
He was really popular at the time, though.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really fault him
for that. That's why he started the Race Betterment Foundation.
Well, he got to betterment races.
So,
The Derby was just a few days ago. Those sucked.
Yeah, I need the better horse races.
Yeah.
So in 1906, John Kellogg's Battle Creek Sanitation, where Sadler had previously been an employee, was becoming really profitable and popular. There's a bunch of celebrities were coming.
Yeah.
And the Seventh-day Adventists were all about it because they owned the property where the sanitarium was.
Right.
They were thrilled. However,
is there any more ominous name than Battle Creek
Sanitary?
Yeah, it's
in Battle Creek, Michigan. So, I mean.
No. I get
it.
I get it.
Yeah.
But Battle Creek Sanatorium is not where I would want to be.
Doesn't sound great.
No.
It's not like I don't trust their pillows. Even their pillows sound aggressive.
Yeah.
So they were thrilled with it at this point because there's a lot of money coming in and everything.
Right.
But in 1907, Kellogg took the sanitarium from Seventh-day Adventist ownership, and they defellowshipped him.
Oh.
Because he took his sanitarium that was super profitable away, they're like, you're out.
Yeah.
He basically got excommunicated. And when Kellogg got kicked out of the church...
Well, religion is, of course, about money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when Kellogg got kicked out of the church, Sadler left with him. His, I guess, uncle-in-law, it would be. He left with him. Sometime in between 1906 and 1911, Sadler had become a psychologist, and he ended up with a patient with he studied with Freud for a year.
Nah.
So he ended up with a patient who had a
That was at the time where he could just be like, I'm a psychologist today.
Yeah, no one cared.
Yeah.
So he ended up with a patient with a weird sleeping condition.
All right.
His wife apparently came over and was like, hey, my husband needs your help.
All right. So, automatic writing.
that might come into it eventually.
Okay.
When the man slept, he spoke to Sadler and claimed to be an alien. Naturally, being a man of science, Sadler ran some tests on the dude, determined him to be completely sane, and that he was actually channeling aliens in his sleep.
What tests could you run to prove that?
That little mallet on the knee, the little rubber mallet. I don't know.
Does he have an EKG at this time? Well, a primitive, like, oh, well, clearly he's telling
the
truth.
He ends up observing him for years, so I assume it's just
like... Well, yeah, if it's a real alien, of course you're going to keep looking at
him. I assume the tests are just wait and see. Is he going to show, like, real manifest
right,
signs of
craziness? Right, right, right.
So for years, he would converse with this sleeping man and write down what he said often. And that work would eventually become the Urantia book.
Okay.
And there's other pieces that end up coming into it, which we'll get into here in a second.
Why is it called the Urantia book?
Because Urantia is the name that these aliens say is the actual name of Earth, that other aliens call Earth. That's the official name of Earth.
Well, wouldn't our own name for... That's like calling America, America, instead of whatever name the Native Americans
Les États-Unis,
call
or the French call
us? No. The First Nations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's our world. Fuck you.
I don't disagree.
Call it Earth or Gaia or whatever the fuck you want. It's our world.
I would love to scream that at this sleeping man. No, you alien.
Earth is for Earthicans.
So, Sadler would keep this man's identity secret, allegedly because he didn't want any ill repute to come to him in case things go bad.
Yeah.
But multiple researchers who have looked into it have suggested they believe it was his brother-in-law, Wilfred Kellogg. So, they were running a scam.
Yeah.
This is an elaborate scam.
All right. All
so, beginning right. in 1923, Sadler began hosting religious discussion groups in his home, attended by friends, colleagues, and suspiciously, former patients.
Odd. It's probably just a coincidence. They're believers.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you cured me. I want to keep up with you.
For sure.
So in the fourth such meeting, the topic...
Eckhart Tolle all over again, man.
He doesn't have discussion groups with his ex-patients. Even he's more ethical than
Everyone's an ex-patient to Eckhart Tolle.
It's true. So in the fourth such meeting, the topic of this guy came up, who was talking in his sleep, and everyone was interested. Sadler would later report to the group that they had been given permission to discuss what the sleeping man had said and try and come up with workshopped good questions to ask next time he goes and talks to him.
Now, frankly, all right, that's just a good organization.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's solid planning. Like, who doesn't want a very solid plan? If you know you have a resource to really dig into things, you can't just go in there half-cocked. You got to get everybody together. You get the whiteboard up there, or sure. I suppose it would be a chalkboard back
then.
Yeah,
probably.
And you do the whole thing, and you're like, hey, first question, the fuck? Next question, for real?
Right.
Third question, how do you feel about all of this?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Do you think it should be called Earth? Because we all do. So that group would go on to they'd become known as the Urantia Book Forum. And in 1925, they became a formal group and sworn to secrecy. Throughout the entire history of the forum, only five people ever knew who the sleeping man was, including the sleeping man himself.
Did he?
The sleeping man's wife.
Prove it.
Sadler and his wife. So that's four.
Right.
There's only one other person unaccounted for who actually knows who the sleeping man is.
Kellogg.
No, Kellogg is the brother-in-law.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The sleeping man.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
The dad.
The dad?
Yeah.
John Harvey Kellogg?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
Who else would know?
So in 2016, thousands of pages of...
Actually, you're right. It was FDR.
It was probably FDR. He was interested in the spirits.
The president has to know.
So in 2016, thousands of pages of diaries kept by forum members Harold and Martha Sherman were released.
Uh-huh.
They paint a portrait of Sadler as a con man, which should surprise no one.
Hmm.
In them, he describes the papers. Harold describes the papers about the life of Jesus that ended up being channeled.
As being golden tablets?
He describes them as, quote, fictitious, unnatural, hackneyed, uninspired, distasteful, offensive, inconsistent, and peppered with cliches and time-worn phrases. They are poorly written, hodgepodge, and rotten to the core.
So that is thorough.
He was triggered.
That is thorough.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of adjectives.
Sherman,
I would say shorten it down, but you know what? I'm all for it.
Sherman, quote,
actually, just like the golden tablets. I think he nailed it.
Yeah. Sherman, quote, became convinced that Sadler himself revised the Jesus papers, perhaps even wrote portions of them. He constantly lashes Sadler for burning the original manuscripts, making it impossible for future scholars to learn how radically they may have been altered.
This is literally Mormonism.
Yep.
This is literally the same story.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. Absolutely.
I love it.
Analysis has suggested that a great deal of the content in the book itself is outright plagiarism. For instance, on page 3 of the book, there's a long passage on 7 ways to define absolute perfection. The passage is taken.
Race memory.
The passage is taken almost word for word from philosopher Charles Hartshorne's 1941 book, Man's Vision of God. It is a flagrant, shameful plagiarism that could have been the basis for legal action if Hartshorne had known about it and wanted to sue for copyright violation.
Sure.
That is a passage that is read there from noted skeptic Martin Gardner, who wrote a book about the book's history called Urantia, the Great Cult Mystery. And it lays out numerous additional plagiarisms and also notes the curious presence of very specifically Seventh-day Adventist beliefs in the material supposedly channeled from aliens, such as the doctrine of soul sleep.
The what now?
Soul sleep is the belief that in between lives, like before you come back or anything, your soul is just like nothing. Your soul is resting in between any reincarnations you
may
have.
That sounds fine.
Yeah. As opposed to there being a time where, like, after death or before you were born where
you
your soul is alive.
You just keep jumping in and jumping out.
Yeah, there's, like, a rest period. And then the other specifically Adventist belief that they include in there, weirdly, is annihilationism, which is at the end of, I don't know, whenever God wins.
You know, whatever.
A lot of people and fallen angels and shit will just not exist anymore. Their souls will be completely destroyed. Whereas,
because they have no purpose left
in normal Christian doctrine, that's not the case. So
sure.
It's suspicious.
Whatever.
It's suspicious. That,
all of this is dumb.
But it
Christianity,
is,
name it.
But it is interesting that you have very specifically Seventh-day Adventist beliefs coming through, channeled miraculously by this fallen Seventh-day Adventist who left when his weirdo Kellogg uncle gets kicked out of the church, and then another relative, who's probably the guy who's faking being asleep while they concoct this elaborate narrative, is also a fallen Seventh-day Adventist.
Nailed it.
So it seems like maybe those beliefs were just sort of in their heads, and and came out on the page.
Dan, whereas they write tweaked, what you know.
They tweaked a number of things, so it's not like it's a direct one-to-one. It's all Seventh-day Adventist shit. But that makes sense, too, because they had been years removed from actually being a part of the church. It just indicates probably whoever wrote it was...
going off the dome, trying to remember it. Couldn't find the book.
Yeah. Oh, and aware of some of the doctrine. So anyway,
what are the Seventh-day Adventist like texts? Do they Bible it up, or do they just let it fly?
I think they're
into
into that Bible. But they're into that Bible. The Urantia book was published in 1955, and that's a long time after this group started meeting.
Uh-huh.
And one of the reasons that people believe that it took that long. And Sadler, when it got published, was like, I have finally gotten permission that we can publish these from the aliens that they're channeling it from.
Suspicious.
The reason that this Gardner, he believes, the reason is because a lot of the people in the group were his ex-patients, and he was using this as a way of sort of having a cult-like environment where he's the leader and one of the only people with access to information. And he didn't want to lose that control by publishing all of this.
Right.
And so he waited until 1955.
Right.
To publish it.
No, you gotta do that.
Now,
like, hey, look, if you're gonna lead a cult, you gotta make sure you live it up as long as you can.
Now, Jordan,
what?
You know where they did this?
Battle Creek, Michigan.
On the 500 block of Diversey. Here in Chicago.
So this is hometown shit?
Yes.
All right. I love it.
We could go to that
Chicago
building.
Chicago represent.
We got to go to that building.
Yeah, of course.
We got to go take a pilgrimage to where the Urantia book happened. I've been outside that building.
Yeah, of course.
It's not
far from
my old place. I don't know. I think like, I don't know. You'd know the building from outside if you saw a picture
of it. It'd be coincidental if it was the Trump Tower. That would be pretty hilarious.
That's not on Diversey.
That would be pretty. That's not the point, Dan. I'm making a hypothetical.
You're way too far north.
I know. God damn it, Dan.
But, dude, it's like that's an area. It's like probably over there by.
Don't worry about it. We're not doing this.
All right, fine.
Which basement bar?
The basement bar.
Yeah. Let's do an intro again where it lasts another 10 minutes and we try and forget.
Fine.
Whatever.
Anyway, I have some problems with the Urantia book based on...
What are you talking about? Galway Bay?
Yeah, that's it.
There we go.
It's over by Galway Bay. Yeah, that's it. You couldn't come up with it either, could you?
Not right away.
You were vamping.
I was thinking it was Galway Bay.
You're being an asshole by vamping, and I don't appreciate that. So I have a problem with the Urantia book based on everything I can glean from it.
Uh-huh.
You have a sociopathic dude who was running an elaborate con, and good on him.
Never heard of a sociopathic dude doing that before.
Good on him. I respect the hustle, but in hindsight, come on now. Oh, also, I read a bunch of passages from it, and they're all just like, they belong on an inspirational word a day calendar.
Yeah,
or like sentence a day calendar.
Yeah.
It's that level. It's like, that's what an alien's bringing?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Turns out, look, frankly, it kind of makes more sense for aliens to be just as vapid as human beings as it does for anything else.
Yeah, somewhat. Why would they have a game face on?
Yeah, exactly.
So we have we have my problems with the Urantia book.
Yeah.
This transition is painful to me because I've tried it three times now. Not your fault. I've blown it each time. So I have a problem with it.
All right.
Simon Parks has a different problem with it.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Urantia book. I have grave concerns regarding this remote viewing. And I want to tell you what those grave concerns are.
Please do.
The Urantia book was actually published in 1955 by the Urantia Foundation. And it
first
was called
correct thing.
The Urantia book. In one of the sections, it talks about, I'm going to do it word for word, it says, your world is called Urantia, and you are in the planetary system of Satania. That's S-A-T-A-N, Satan,
what?
I-A, Satania.
Well, there
and
you
on
go.
In another section, it says, the grand universe number of your world is 5,342,482,337,666. Now, any book that gives a number of 666 and the word
I'm going to call that true pending an investigation. So he's got two things right.
Is a book that I wouldn't want to use, and I fully understand what that book is about. Sure. And this is all documented. People can go and look this up, and they'll see that what I'm saying is truthful. So I have grave concerns about the Urantia book. That's my first point.
Fair enough.
That's a good point.
So
he's a good point. We're off to a great start.
He thinks it's of the devil.
See, now, again, if he comes to the conclusion that this is a dumb fuck thing to do, what does it really matter why he does?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Because he does believe, or at least it appears he believes, that it was legitimately, like, channeled. And the backstory of it is true. It's just that whoever was channeling it got tricked into thinking that it wasn't satanic in nature. That's what he's saying.
That's his point?
Yes.
That's his point?
Yes.
He got false flagged? Is that
basically
what he's saying?
Yes. Yes, it's a false flag channeling.
Yep. Love it. I love it when con men are like, you got conned.
Mm-hmm.
You should listen to my con.
Meanwhile, you didn't get conned.
No.
So, now we get into his critique of this remote viewing that
right.
Brett, whatever, did.
Too many adjectives.
So here's his take on it. And again, if the end result is like, yes, this guy is full of shit, then we can agree on that. But
right.
Boy, the substance is different.
Here we go.
My second point is that half an hour before we went on, one of our listeners sent me a video, which is readily available on YouTube. And it's called The Mantis Extraterrestrial, Everything You Need to Know. I'm going to repeat that. Mantis Extraterrestrial, Everything You Need to Know. Now, I have grave concerns because...
First of all, let's take a moment to enjoy Carrie's laugh about, like, haha, as if they could put that in one video.
Yeah. Also, you didn't need to repeat that.
No.
It's a very simple title.
I'm going to say it again.
There appears to be... in the presentation of Brett Stewart, there would appear to be lifting directly from this YouTube video, and I'm going to give evidence of that. At the 1.56 minute mark on the video, there is a drawing extremely similar to the drawing that Brett Stewart uses in his presentation. And at the 9.30 mark, he uses word for word the presentation, which is along the words that they wish to conquer rather than see human ascension. Oh. So I have grave concerns because there appears to be lifting directly from this video. Also, it talks about mantis having oily skin. He said that. Extra joints on their necks and their arms. He said that. I'm shocked, actually.
I don't...
hardcore rule of threes right there.
I'm not...
That is exactly... I have this problem with it. Uh-huh. I have this problem with it. And let me tell you something. Mantids don't have oily skin.
No, sir. I have to tell you how delighted I was when at the end he's like, I am shocked.
Shocked.
So basically what he's saying is...
Sir, I will meet you for pistols at dawn.
He's saying that Brett Stewart is... 100% what he's saying is that he's plagiarized his remote viewing from this YouTube video.
Yeah, right.
And he's not talking about mantids. No, sir. He is not. But we'll get to that in a second. We need to deal with the plagiarism a little more in this next group. Because I want to be clear about this. I believe when you accuse someone of plagiarism, you're invalidating not only the work, you're invalidating their process. Anyway, here's
until you're expelled from this show, you're fine.
Here is I can't remember his name. Simon. Here, that's not good.
No.
I am sleepy. Here is Simon on the plagiarism issue.
So let's
Simon, can I just break in here? Asking you which came first, Brett's viewing or this so-called website?
Great question.
Website pick was 2017.
Okay, so it was a year before. That's very, very interesting.
Is it?
And, you know, just let me also say for the viewers that Brett is very well aware that we're doing this discussion today, and he is going to come on my
remote
show to discuss his viewing. He's traveling at the moment, but in probably the next few weeks. And he is an admirer of yours, by the way. I guess you know that.
Right. Let me make it clear. I've actually gone on public record saying that his work is good. I've said that.
Well, now you're
not.
I've
said that he's very accurate. And this is not
what is that?
A criticism of him. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't do that. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is that I have issues with this particular piece of work. I have issues with this particular remote viewing. I don't have issues with Brett Stewart. I have issues with this, and I'm giving evidence as to where those issues are.
That's a weird line to draw. Also, what you ask there, what is that clunkiness?
Yeah.
I didn't keep in any clips about this because it made me kind of sad. You know how, like, almost... You don't know this because you don't watch the actual full videos.
Of course.
But Carrie always has tech troubles. Like, there's always long periods where they can't hear each other and they're working out their Skype and stuff like that. What you need to do is mute your mic when I'm talking. And they do that on air and she just releases them. So in this case, because she couldn't get...
We can't give judgment. We have tech issues.
Absolutely. We had one episode lost in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So when she's doing this episode, I don't know why, but maybe because she couldn't use YouTube and she was using Facebook, she couldn't get the picture in a picture going. So instead, she has a laptop that she's holding up that has, that has Simon Parks.
No. Wait, and she's holding it towards the camera.
Yes.
Away from her.
Yes.
This is my favorite thing that's ever happened.
So you can see
Simon.
That is
the cutest fucking thing.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
It's enterprising.
That's like a six-year-old. That's what a six-year-old would do.
No, I mean, real talk.
Well, a six-year-old in the 80s. Like, not a six-year-old now. They're far more technically capable than she is.
I don't like you impugning her for that, because I think in a pinch, that's a pretty creative solution. It looks bad, it's a pretty creative way to do it, as opposed to, like, we just got audio. We're going live, but, I'm going to set my laptop over here with the picture.
I thought she was holding it.
She is for part of it.
Mm.
There might be a stand
at
some point.
If you've got it on a table or something, that's fine. But if you're holding it with your little hand, that's cute.
I believe that both happen. But anyway, she has tech difficulties, and it's because she's being attacked.
It happens.
She's being hacked and attacked.
YouTube, DDoS.
So Brett Stewart has clearly plagiarized this based on the evidence they've presented.
Obvious.
The fact that other video came out a year before his remote viewing and has certain thematic and verbal, literal verbal similarities in terms of turns of phrase, uses of
well,
sentences.
He remote viewed into the past.
He could have remote viewed the video.
A few days before the video came out.
Could be.
It's original material. The video actually plagiarized him.
Yeah.
It's only that he couldn't write it until after the video was made.
Right. So he plagiarized it.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. And there's no doubt about that.
And Simon is literally saying, yes. And then Carrie says, you know, he's listening, and he's a fan.
And he's like, well, in the past, I have said great things about him. I think he's a wonderful man. I am talking about this specific instance.
This one time, things went off the rails.
Look,
and,
I wouldn't be a good friend if I weren't calling him out for this.
But the implication of this video existed a year before very clearly is, instead of remote viewing, what Brett Stewart did is watch this video and then pretend he remote viewed something. That is the implication.
Yeah, I mean, and it looks bad.
Oh, it does.
It looks bad.
All this looks bad.
But, is there a but? I feel like that's a full stop sentence.
There is a but.
It's bad.
There is a but.
There is a but.
Brett should not have fucking talked about the mantids.
That's a good point.
Here's why.
So many reasons.
The drawing that Brett showed, he showed this creature. Can you see that? I've just drawn that drawing.
Yes.
It's not...
In case you didn't hear that, what he said is, this isn't the actual drawing. I've drawn a drawing of the one that's in his video, which is...
So now, if I understand correctly, what is happening in the video is Carrie Cassidy looking at camera.
Uh-huh.
This dude, Simon, in the laptop, looking at camera, Simon holding up a drawing.
Yes. And it's a drawing of a drawing.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. This is an Ouroboros of lunacy.
Not the drawing. It's my representation of what I saw. Now, Brett does use the word mantis-like. Ooh. And occasionally he uses the word mantis. This is what the mantis actually looked like.
Here's another drawing.
Right.
Okay, that's the mantis. This is not a mantis. This is called by the United States military an insectoid.
No.
They're very different.
They're very different.
No.
Very different.
Nope. Refuse. Refuse.
So, it's.
I do not like my conspiracy alien bullshit to split hairs. I don't like it.
We've already dealt with the reptilians and the reptoids. Why not deal with the mantis and the insectoids?
No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Jordan,
this isn't Starship Troopers, okay?
Being a baby. Much like on our last episode, Obama told us it's time to put away childish things.
Fair enough.
And this
Fair
petty
enough.
Squabble that you have needs to go to bed.
All right. I apologize. You're right. You're right, Dad.
So it's not mantises that Brett has seen. It's insectoids.
Which calls everything into question.
Absolutely.
Everything into question. How can you trust this man?
It is a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
And so he believes, look, dude, it's just, he goes on forever about this. It's just, you know, like, hey, the mantis, you know, that, hey.
So are the mantises good or bad? Are the insectoids good or bad? Are the insectoids more, is insectoid more of a general term? Are we talking like kingdom phylum kind of shit?
No. We're going to get to all of it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. All You're getting ahead of the horse here.
All right. I just have questions.
I understand. And these questions will be dealt with. But like, I don't know. I don't know what to say without giving it, stuff away. But it's insectoids are not mantises. And that's very important. He goes on.
I feel like mantises are insectoids, though.
Not all mantises are. No, not all insectoids are mantises.
But all
mantoids,
are insectoids.
Right. It's that,
that makes sense.
Syllogism.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case.
If A, then B. If B, then C. But if whatever.
It's not spelled out like that, so I don't know. And I'm not one to make assumptions about alien phylums and race.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying?
No, of course not.
But
we don't have the research.
Something happened on this episode that straight up blew my mind.
Yes.
It's taken us a while in having Carrie have bullshit said to her.
Yes.
That she's just been like, oh, yes. Finally, we get one moment where Carrie is like, I don't know about
that. Nah.
I don't know about that.
Okay. All right.
I myself have doubts about the Urantia book, actually. And that doesn't mean the whole thing is bogus. It just means that there may be some issues there.
So that's, I mean, it's jarring for her to have a problem with something.
I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel about this.
I feel like the equivocating is a little bit like, it doesn't mean it's all bogus.
Yeah.
It kind of
yeah,
does.
Come on.
Kind of does.
Come on. If any part of that book is not gospel, none of that book is gospel.
If you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned with these sorts of elaborate
cons. Yeah.
So you asked about the Mantid agenda, and I'm sorry I couldn't answer your question in a timely fashion. But here.
I believe it's about adopting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It is about international adoptions.
Which I say, like, there are 300,000 kids who are in our orphanage system. I'm fine with Mantids adopting. I think we need good homes for all of these children, regardless of your insectoid.
It's actually part of the Magnitsky Act.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the mantids can't adopt.
All right.
Look, man, mantids. You know how Mark Richards says the raptors are cool, and that makes us suspicious of him,
right?
And the raptors makes it seem like maybe the raptors aren't cool,
right?
Apparently the mantids are pretty cool too.
Mm.
So in terms of to wrap up this mantid agenda, could you
yes, let's wrap it up.
By the way, hasn't started. I'm not
the mantid agenda is assumed, Dan.
Absolutely.
Everybody already knows what
Taken
the mantid
as red.
Agenda. Yeah.
If you're coming into Project Camelot, you're not
You already
to,
know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Understanding. Tell me what you think the mantid agenda is at this time, and then we'll move on to these other subjects.
Sure. The mantid, in the true sense, not the insectoids, the mantids actually want humanity to ascend. Unlike the greys and the reptilians and AI, which actually want humanity to be bottled up and held in a position of slavery. And the reason that the mantids want humanity to survive is that real, true mantids come from this earth. They were not brought here, and they didn't travel here. They actually are indigenous, something like 144 million years ago when they first evolved.
Was that the Cretaceous period?
They are connected to humanity. And there's a lot in Brett's presentation which is, I believe, accurate.
I mean, he stole
it. If humanity evolves and goes to the fifth dimension, so will
Which
Atlantis.
One is that?
Unlike
no, that's
the
four.
Reptilians, which will be trapped in the fourth, and the Greys,
Volume?
Which will be stuck in the fourth. The mantids have every reason to see humanity evolve. They do not win if we are stuck in the third dimension. They don't get anything out of it.
That's a good point.
Qui bono.
That's a good point.
Qui bono.
Our interests align.
Right.
How can you not trust them?
So you're asking about the dimensions, and this is a part of Illuminati theory that's been going on for a really long time.
Is this like transcending outside of time?
Yes, dimensions at it's often called densities. Like you reach a new density, like
a new density.
You become.
I feel like this is a lot about people who don't understand dimensions.
Now, I did a lot of reading on this years ago, and so some of it's going to be a little bit spotty. Okay. But a lot of this comes from this idea that of the Illuminati, and what they are is the like sort of the dark side of whatever.
Of course.
There's a coming point. And every time there's something that happens, people online get boners about how this is it. Like 2012 was that for a long time.
Of course.
It's whatever coming point there is that is the point when we will either ascend to the next level
yeah.
or stay
yeah.
on the third dimension.
Right.
Or fourth dimension, depending on
whatever
definitions
yeah,
you
yeah
have.
We're staying in the third dimension. That makes as little sense as anything else.
And so the idea essentially is that life and your time in this density or this dimension is to teach you certain lessons and get you to elevate to the next level, specifically in the context of putting yourself before or putting others before yourself.
Yeah, I remember that was in A Brief History of Time, I believe. That was Hawking's main thesis.
Was it?
Yeah.
You're snickering.
or perhaps the special theory of relativity? I don't know.
I know.
How far back does it go, Dan?
It goes at least to Carl Sagan's Demon-Haunted World.
Fair.
That was about the internet.
Yeah.
Look, dude, I don't even know how to spell it out. But the point is, there is this belief that we are faced with a crisis that's coming soon, and
always.
What we need to do is get ourselves elevated. You know, it's all the same talk. Raise your vibration.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of
yeah.
thing. And so you elevate to the next level as opposed to getting left here.
Yeah.
And the mantids, they're our boys.
Right.
And they come along with us wherever
right.
we go. Because they're indigenous.
Earth. Yeah.
Because they're from Earth 144 million years. They came up with spacecrafts or whatever.
Sure.
And left. I don't know.
Why not? They're not busy.
No.
I always find it interesting.
I would posit.
Yeah.
Now, this might be stupid on my part.
Could be.
I would say that if mantids... And
sure.
I saw the drawing that he made. They look like bugs. They look like big bugs.
Yeah.
They look
well,
like,
yeah. That's why you call them mantids.
Exactly. They look like a praying mantis.
Yeah.
So...
That'd be great if they didn't.
Yeah.
If they just look like beetles and he's like, this is what a mantid is.
Or
and everybody's,
they're just looking like
yeah.
Hey.
It's actually Gary.
Hey, guys. Turns out raptors look like raptors. Mantises look like mantises.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's odd how we give them literal names.
It's almost like these are children personifying characters. Yeah. Anthropomorphizing things.
It could be.
That don't have
could
consciousness.
Could be.
So I would say it's difficult for me to imagine that 144 million years ago or so, there were mantises that it would have taken them millions of years to evolve into the form of mantis that would be able to initiate space travel.
It was an oxygen-rich environment at that time. That's why everybody grew so much bigger back then.
Why do we see literally no evidence of any other earthbound sort of coming close to space technology race
they
of animals.
They cleaned up after themselves. Just How? Like just How? Like God planted the dinosaur bones
no,
in order
the,
to
no,
test your
that was
fate.
The Jews. We all know that was,
that,
the,
was that the Jews?
Yeah, that's is what that, some people believe.
Is that what an argument is?
Yeah.
The Jews planted dinosaur
Absolutely.
Bones?
Absolutely. I've heard right. I've heard people make that argument.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. I think that mantises, based on their arms being not opposable
right.
thumbs and all
right.
that.
Right, right,
I think they'd have a challenging time cleaning up the earth and leaving behind no sign of them being here. I think also they'd have
better at digging, though. They got those
You're
those
not wrong.
Diggers.
You're
they got
not
those
wrong.
Diggers, man. Come on.
And I think that mantis beings are also somehow wrapped up into the hollow earth stuff. So there might be
Course.
When he's saying that they're indigenous to Earth, I think there might be some of that wrapped up in there.
Sure.
But be that as it may, all this stuff is stupid, but I'm thrilled they're on our side.
What I always find fascinating about all of these bullshit theories is that they are always obsessed with the fundamental concept that I think everything, every religion, every belief system is obsessed with, which is the idea of ascension versus slavery.
Yep.
It is a very fascinating thing to me that regardless of what it is you believe, everybody has a general core concept of we're currently at this medium level.
Yeah, we're in the muck.
That we could be worse, we could be better.
Right, we could
we're
be a
always
rock.
In the medium.
We could be a rock or we could be a light being.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me.
And you know what's even more fascinating? When you put it that way, it becomes really troubling that like a lot of especially Western-oriented religions, the good ending, you know, like if you play the game right,
yeah.
you get the good good video game end.
Yeah.
That ending is your individuality is absorbed into like God or
right.
those who
right, right, right.
get to witness God or whatever
yeah,
and
yeah,
worship.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Your individuality is completely gone if you succeed
yes.
or whatever. That to me is kind of weird. I don't like that.
Why not?
I like my individuality. I like my autonomy. You know, I'm kind of into it.
Well, but don't you feel like
and maybe,
a lot
maybe
of your
that's my,
a lot
maybe
of
that's
your,
my third dimension challenge.
That could be.
That I have to rise
be.
Above it.
I mean, ultimately so many of your problems are based in the fact that you
dare you
have complete autonomy.
You don't know
like
my, you don't
so
know
much
my problems.
So much of the fair enough Dan. I apologize. Even though we've talked about your problems for countless hours.
Let me tell you the first one.
Clearly I
like bad bitches. That's my fucking problem. Yeah, I like to fuck. I got a fucking
yeah,
problem.
Right, right, right. Fair enough.
Great
fair
song.
Enough.
Great song.
It is kind of interesting to me how we all, regardless of where your belief system comes from, we all have this yearning for better.
Yeah.
But overriding that is our fear of worse.
Yeah.
Like it's ultimately that that risk aversion that everybody has. You know, well, you would rather avoid losing $5 than win $10. Mm-hmm. Like it's a really interesting thing to me.
Yeah,
because so much of this
way,
yeah, yeah. So much of this comes from just this evolutionary need to not get fucked.
Interesting,
you know?
Too though, in that is that all of these, even if you go this crazy route and you're talking about mantis beings,
yeah.
or you go Christianity, even other religions, earthbound religions, right? You go, across the gamut. One of the connective tissues and one of the threads through almost all of it is this is meat.
Yeah.
Like this flesh body
right.
is inconsequential and doesn't matter.
Right.
It seems like that is a through line through everything. Like that's the prison.
Yeah.
Like the prison is the flesh.
Right.
And that seems to that goes through New Age thinking.
Right.
That goes through old time thinking. That's Gnostic. Like all of it. Every single. But you have to do that because visceral impulses are really powerful.
Yeah.
And if you want to get people to fall into your line of thinking, you have to convince them that, like, oh, yeah, your baser impulses? No, 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 no.
Yeah.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. Absolutely. It is the through line to all of these religions that ultimately invalidates all of them equally.
Yeah.
Like, if you believe in Christianity, your end goal is the exact same as the guy who believes in mantids.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Kind of.
Because there is a fundamental conflict between consciousness and instinct. And we're not capable of processing those things.
That may be the case.
Yeah.
I'm still not hanging out with Simon Parks.
Nah.
Okay.
He seems fun. I would love to get a driving test from him.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But he would be teaching you to drive on the wrong side of the road because he is.
That's his real craziness.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I cut out a bunch
Teach
of stuff.
Teach me to drive in the fifth dimension, man.
That's the right side of the road, left side of the road.
Yep.
So I cut out a bunch of this stuff because they end up talking politics a bunch.
What? And why?
Simon knows a lot. I don't know.
Right. Well, he was a council member. What are his political beliefs?
He believes that the Syrian stuff was a false flag.
That's not great.
No.
We're not off to a good start.
But I only bring that up. It's really boring. But I bring it up because it's like, oh, this is the same as Alex. You know, one of those points where, like, I think a lot of people who listen, not a lot of people, but I'm sure there's a small minority at least that's like, why do you cover Project Camelot? And because you got to recognize that a lot of the time they believe the same things.
Yeah.
It's just Carrie talks about this other mantis and Mark Richards shit.
Yeah. Ultimately, we get to the same conclusion
right.
on these guys. So there's
that Syria gas yeah. attack is a false flag stuff.
Also, I don't think anybody has asked us the question, why do you cover this stuff, right?
No, I ask it in my head, though.
Yeah, you're
I'm
just
projecting.
You're preemptively yeah. being like, everybody's asking me this question.
Not everyone's asking me, but like I do feel it. Like, it's weird. It's weird yeah. that we're an Alex Jones podcast, and then for some reason we just fucking talk about...
Because it's the same shit.
It is. Everyone's,
it's the same
everyone's
shit.
Everyone's a con man.
Look, we could talk about mega churches. It'd be the same shit.
Yeah, well, we have.
Yeah, that's true.
We talked
yeah.
about that one.
You talk
that
about
homophobic
the,
preacher.
Yeah, you talk about the prosperity gospel. It's the same fucking shit as mantids. Who
to,
gives
yeah,
it?
To a certain
it's
degree.
It's the same fucking bullshit.
So they also talk about... there's a bunch of stuff. Like, there's pro-Russia leanings, there's pro-Putin leanings, even though Simon has come out and said that the Nordics are advising Putin. He's saying things negative about Putin, but based on reality, it's like you're letting him off the hook for things.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the...
Well, the Nordics were the reason that the Holocaust happened. It wasn't
of course.
Nationalist Germany. It was Nordics.
No.
And the Greys, who are mercenaries.
They're the Hessian mercenary teams.
Yeah, they don't even give a fuck.
The particular thing that they talk about is the gassing of that spy in London.
Uh-huh.
And it's another...
Simon, I'm sure, has a lot of thoughts about that.
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, it was an agent of some sort, but it wasn't Putin. He wouldn't have done something like that. Blah, blah, blah. It was Britain.
Man, it sure fits in with everything Putin's ever done, though.
Yeah, and that's
it
what he...
Kinda is, that's
what he says.
It kind of tracks perfectly.
That's what he says.
And that is why it has to be a false flag.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's too obvious.
Too obvious. They knew that Putin has a history of gassing people, and so they gas people in order to make it look like him.
Right.
I don't like the idea of states being copycat killers. That doesn't amuse me. The other thing...
Although that might as well be true.
The other thing that I forgot to bring up is in the conversation of the Syria being a false flag
uh-huh.
stuff, what they were getting to at the end was that the Zionist cabal in Israel
okay.
is really behind it. So there is a...
It always comes back to anti-Semitism.
Well, but here's the problem. It's like, yeah, Israel is doing a lot of fucked up shit, but the way
you're
talking about
it is... Oh, yeah, no, Israel is run by Nazis now, which
yeah.
is fascinating.
Yeah, but if you want to talk about the...
Lovely.
If you want to talk about the real stuff, talk about it. But if
yeah.
you want to talk about, like, these bizarre conspiracy theories and then throw Israel in it,
eh.
I'm going to guess that you have a different angle on it than I do.
Mm. Might be.
It feels very weird.
I don't think Israel should colonize the West Bank because they're run by the goddamn reptoids.
We need to bring in the raptors.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. So they do all this politics stuff. And I'm sorry, there's been a lot of talking. But it gets to probably my favorite thing that's ever happened on Project Camelot. There is a fucking... This is so weird. I don't even know how to set this up. And there's no fucking need to. Just enjoy this shit.
President Trump... President Trump actually stood up to the North and said, oh, I've had it with you.
He's talking about North and South Korea. He's saying that Trump finally put pressure on it. That's what's going to solve it.
Sure.
It's not important to what happens. I just wanted to give you context.
Okay.
I'm going to blow you to pieces. And China and Russia actually said to America, go ahead and do it. And the reason that they did this change of face was because North Korea had developed nuclear weapons and a missile that could reach not just American real estate, but anything to do with China and Russia. So what we had was, for the first time in many, many years, an agreement that North Korea had gone too far. Now, there's also the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, who both financially controlled the North and the South, and they then came to an arrangement that they would withdraw.
So
President Trump.
Ah, we have Kerry.
We got a lot of coughing.
We got a lot of coughing.
Love it.
And then at the end there, we have the Rothschilds and Rockefellers.
Of course. So they control North and South Korea.
Absolutely.
Do they control
everything.
Does one control the North and one control the South? Is it a proxy war between the Rockefellers?
Simon Parks is caught back in the 2009 era of where Alex Jones's conspiracy mindset is. Now, granted, I think I have heard Kerry talk about Soros too. Like, I've heard her bring him up.
Right.
But this guy isn't. Simon's not bringing him up. But we should see, again, another parallel there to those two worlds.
Yeah.
Bringing up the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds as big villains.
My general operating theory now on North Korea is that they realized that their nuclear program wasn't actually going to work. And there, if you, the more I read about the whole situation, nuclear testing site that they have that was underground or whatever, yeah, essentially collapsed.
That's one of them, though.
Yeah.
There's other tunnels.
No, I understand that, but yeah. I'm fairly certain at this point they're kind of like, oh, they figured it out. We're bluffing.
I'm 50-50 on it. That is one possibility. Another possibility is that negotiations are being done under sort of like differing pretexts.
Uh-huh.
Like the idea that he's offering some sort of denuclearization. If you look at his statements, they do seem to imply that we have to also. Like, the expectation is, like, we can have an agreement, but everyone gets rid of nukes.
Oh, that's good. That's actually a good negotiating position for them.
It's a great.
I like
that.
It's
great for the world.
The problem is, I'm kind of on the side now of everybody should have nukes.
Yeah.
Like realistically, what America and Russia should do is give our nuclear stockpile.
Well,
like,
see, now
everybody gets 10.
Now
you know what I'm saying?
Now,
like, that way we're not invading Iran. Iran's got 10 nukes. We've got 10 nukes.
And now
it's an equal distribution of mutually assured destruction.
Jordan, now
I you can't trust America with anything.
Jordan,
we are fucking insane.
Let me introduce you to my dear friend, Ollie North, the new head of the NRA.
Yeah, great!
I think you two now have a lot in common, because you have just described their position on gun rights.
No. The problem is, gun rights are slightly different insofar as...
No, they're not.
Oh, tell me how this is an equal position.
What do you mean?
I mean, compare
everyone
these two.
Everyone having nukes in order so no one can aggress upon each other is everyone has guns so no one can be violent with each other.
That's not the same thing.
It is on a macro scale.
On a macro scale, it's a very different situation.
No, just think of states as people. Think of states as people.
But that's a ridiculous concept. That's like whenever people
say... It's all ridiculous!
That's when people say the country should be run like a household.
Everybody,
if we need to tighten our belts. That's not how that actually fucking works.
Everything we're discussing
is
ridiculous.
The difference... Well, all right. But this is where we got to get into it. I don't like that because that is a false equivalence.
No, it's not.
I disagree entirely.
Nah, because if you...
Defend your position.
Well, because killing is killing. You know?
I understand killing is killing. I get that. But what are you talking about?
The threat at its core is death, whether it's mass death or your death.
I would
individual death.
I would massively prefer nobody had nukes. Don't disagree. Don't misunderstand my position.
I didn't accuse you of having that position.
Number one position is no guns, no military, no fucking nukes. That's my number one position.
I didn't accuse you of having that position.
If you have two massively nuclear powers who are capable of threatening everybody else, at this point in time, in a fucking international concept, the only way to avoid being invaded is to have that nuclear strength. Like, you look at the
sure,
fucking...
but look at it this way.
Yeah.
You have two powers that have tons of guns, gangs and cops. How are you going to protect yourself from both of those? Got to have a gun. It's not a good metaphor.
Make sense.
No, it's
no.
not. Who cares?
All right.
Let's move on.
Fine. I'm mad at you.
Let's agree to disagree. So, remember how Carrie was coughing?
She was soul coughing, actually.
That doesn't stop.
She does. She runs around in circles.
Round in circles.
Great.
Bless you, Carrie.
Sorry. It's actually...
It's probably an energy attack against you.
Right. So, anyway...
So...
Even Carrie's like, sure.
Simon.
Sure. It's an energy attack against me. Thanks, Simon. I could just have a dry throat.
That's what you think?
Wait, she's going to jump back?
Wait.
No.
Wait.
No.
I don't know, you know, how much you pay attention or hear anything about my work, but recently Mark Richards actually leaked something that was very, very interesting, and it is about North Korea, and maybe this is why I'm what's happening. They're attacking my throat chakra is being...
Yeah, that is a satanic attack on you, okay? I want you to really just protect yourself now. You've got a lot of love from all of your audience and me, and this attack just has got to stop. It has just got to stop.
Okay, thank you.
Wow.
I just got taken back. I just got taken back to when I was growing up. My mom was really, really sick one night. In the middle of the night, she was so sick, like she was like screaming out in pain. Woke up the whole family, even in the basement, and we're all just running into my parents' bedroom, and we're like, "For real, what the fuck is going on?" And my dad's like, "It's fine. I'm laying hands on her and praying."
That's cool.
And I was like, 911 immediately. Like, get this. No. Fuck your laying hands on bullshit.
Oh wow.
911, please.
Carrie
Excuse
just gave
me.
You a flashback.
Yeah. This is the same fucking. We're gonna give you energy. There's a lot of love to protect you against this satanic energy. Fuck off.
Spoiler alert. She does.
Fuck off.
She coughs later.
Yeah.
Again.
Of course she fucking does.
Because she didn't take a drink of water. But like,
she didn't take a drink of water.
Not on camera. Not
it's
that I
not
saw.
Hard.
No. But like, maybe she didn't have a bottle handy.
All right.
Anyway.
All right.
I just love bullshit.
This is the first thing that I'm real mad about.
I love the idea that you thought that she was dismissive of his idea that it's an energy attack.
I for real thought that.
We're talking about Carrie Cassidy.
I know, but I was really hoping, Dan. I was really hoping.
No such luck. No such luck. So at this point, I want to play a couple clips of just like pretty close similarities between Simon, Project Camelot, and Alex Jones. In this first one, he talks about Brexit.
One of the primary reasons that Great Britain voted to leave the European Union, because night after night after night, Premier Television showed hundreds of thousands of people streaming across borders. And that made Great Britain's majority of people vote to leave Europe. So that's one very important, mustn't be underestimated, effect of that. If you take a country and you try to change its value-based system by introducing people who are not of your country, you will cause riots and revolution. And I believe in many cases that's exactly what they intended. You spoke about France.
So... cultural replacement is behind the fears, and they are doing that intentionally. That's exactly what Alex says.
Yeah.
That's 100% his whole idea
yeah.
about the globalists and how they're trying to have no borders
yeah.
and flood us with people with different cultures. And we're all going to have our white people replaced.
They're false flagging us.
Mm-hmm.
That's really ridiculous.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. I mean, in a certain sense.
Whether his assessment is accurate or not, I don't want to talk about that.
In a certain sense, it kind of is. Like, essentially what he was saying is that propaganda made people afraid.
Propaganda about cultural displacement is effective.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll agree with
that. Yeah. He was like, he was again, in a certain sense, if he had said Cambridge Analytica instead of Raptors, I'd have been like, you're pretty close to the...
To be fair, Simon doesn't talk much about the Raptors.
Or whatever.
He talks
whatever.
About the mantises, the insectoids. But this is just the globalists.
Well, the mantises are the good ones, so they're not the ones orchestrating this. He's talking about the insectoids, right?
No, this is just about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers.
Oh, okay.
And stuff.
Fair enough.
The human powers,
right.
As it were. As it were.
But they're being advised by the Nordics.
There's no doubt about
that.
Or
the Greys.
Yeah. So also another thing that Alex has been really talking about a lot is 5G technology.
Right.
Doesn't
seem to
really understand that the G just stands for generation. And we've done this a bunch of times in terms of upgrades and technology that we're able to have. And every time there's been lunatic fringe groups that have been like,
sleep.
No.
Sleep.
Fight the future.
Sleep.
Fight the idea of everyone having access to the internet.
Well, yeah,
fight
it's that. Terrifying.
Yeah. And so...
That's why we should deregulate... what?
Sleep. So anyway, Alex hates 5G, and turns out Simon...
Of course.
Simon hates 5G.
Uh-huh.
His argument, a little different.
Mark Richards talks about the AI. The problem we've got is that there is one faction attempting 5G, or as they say in other countries, G5, which is a very high-frequency form of Wi-Fi, which will allow a fourth-dimensional entity
sure.
to exist in that and will infect humans and will try to mass brain wipe or brain control large numbers of the population. And the reason that Mark Richards is probably not allowed to go public is because there is, as we speak, a battle being fought between the cabal group and the good guys as to what is the outcome of
it. So
that could be the reason.
A fourth dimensional entity is going to come in.
The idea AI is attempting 5G and then the classic con man move of this is something you understand, so I'm going to rename it into something that I only understand. It's G5,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that kind of bullshit. Always,
maybe this is the
always
in
so
Europe.
Always so fucking childish.
Meh. Meh.
That's what it is.
Meh, perhaps
that's what it is.
So, I only played that clip and played the last two to specifically point out that like there's thematic correlations between the things that they're afraid of,
yeah.
In Project Camelot world and in InfoWars world.
Change
now, more or less.
I don't like it,
neighbors.
Sorry.
So the other thing is that last month, Simon Parks got fired from a radio show that he did.
He's doing a radio show on top of teaching driving?
Yeah, he was doing a radio show of some sort, and he got into a little bit of a...
God, we could never get a radio show.
Yeah, we could.
No, we could not.
Yeah, we could. We'd just have to go to like a really low rent... Like operation.
All right.
There's literally, but it wouldn't help us.
No, like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in our world, there are, look.
When I say radio show.
No. I okay, never mind. Clarify.
I mean like an online hub of places where they just put out content or whatever.
I feel like they still wouldn't allow us.
Someone would. But like, you know what?
Wait, what did that guy say about white genocide? Nah. Raptors? Please.
The Soft Yes Podcast Network. So he had a show.
We are going to have, eventually, we will branch out into a 5% Nation only podcast.
Yes. So we'll get Ghostface on. That'll be fun.
Hell yeah.
So he got in trouble, kicked off this radio network. And one of the, because he got into a fight with another YouTuber who talks to aliens. And She was making...
I love the world I get to live in because of you.
She was making some accusations, and, like, I don't think a lot of them are true, probably.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the deal is.
Why not?
I don't know what the deal is, but some of them were pretty fucking rough. Like, to the point where I don't even want to repeat them on air.
Okay.
Like, they are, like, there are things that if...
You think your opinions wouldn't be printable.
Well, if not true, he should sue. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's that level of, okay, like, some of all the right things. But one of the accusations that was made was that he defrauds old women of money. And I don't know if it's specifically old women.
Yeah, what are we talking about? A Larry Nichols here? Come on.
I went to his
Come on.
I went to his website, simonparks.org, spelled P-A-R-K-E-S. And he provides some services.
So British.
£50 for 30 minutes, £100 for an hour. He'll give you a soul reading.
Those are sex line prices. No, sir.
No. Soul reading allows Simon to connect with the client's soul and all thus right determine their star family heritage.
Star family?
Mm-hmm.
Like Beetlejuice? Like, what are we talking about?
The Beetlejuice?
Yeah. Oh, is that? Oh.
I don't know. I think it is Beetlejuice, all but right it's spelled like that.
All right.
Also, he'll just do a general consultation where you can just talk about whatever you want. Also, still £100 for an hour.
All right.
Also, he does deprogramming and mind healing.
Wouldn't it be amazing if he was actually a really great therapist?
He fixes demonic possession.
You could call a lot of my mental illnesses demonic possession.
A number of clients are afflicted by dark energy beings, the djinn being one of them.
The djinn?
The djinn.
When did Arabic mythology get jumped into this?
Oh, they're
this
in play.
All right.
In those cases right where the client wishes to expel / be free of such entities, Simon is also able to bring this about. In the meantime, you can go
I just want to expel them. I don't want to be free of them.
You just want them to hang out?
I just want to have a ghost friend on my shoulder.
So, yeah, he does all this for over Skype or over the phone for $100 an hour, which...
£100 an hour.
Yeah, which is more than
$100
an hour.
Yeah, that's like, what? What's the exchange rate now? That's like $120 an hour.
Yeah.
I can't afford that.
And so it's not great. I don't know if he's defrauding people, but, boy, smells like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
I think what's the ad they do for, like, talktherapy.com or whatever it is? Talkspace, that's it.
I'm sure the rates on that aren't great.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get him to buy ads on her. Like, the dollop has Talkspace, and we get this
Simon
fucking
Parks
guy.
I would not take that ad. I'll tell you that
no,
right now.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think I would take a Talkspace ad either. I think they're probably a borderline scam.
50-50 on it.
Yeah.
No idea. But I haven't looked into it. Don't want to comment. I have one last clip. This is the This is the punchline. Boy,
howdy.
I've met Mark Richards' wife, and as far as I'm concerned, they're incredibly genuine. I've never met the man, but I've met his wife, and I follow the work. I'm absolutely convinced that he should not be in jail. He should be released immediately.
No, he was involved in a fucking contract murder. I believe that Joanne Richards is genuine. That's not what I've ever taken issue with. I've taken issue with the fact that she's... being defrauded,
right,
and is actively participating in that fraud,
right.
So that's
how many don't like a shit ton of serial killers wind up getting like love letters and naked pictures from random ass women.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that's what's going on here, except it's just aliens.
Yeah. It's slightly more fun because it's at least shows a bone of creativity.
Right.
But man,
I assume for Mark Richards, it's less fun.
Nothing's that fun.
I think he would prefer...
You're serving life in prison.
I think he would prefer nudie mags or nudie pics or whatever it is.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So anyway, Simon Parks has a baby with an alien called the Cat Goddess. And
where's his baby at?
She's in space, probably. I don't know. He doesn't seem too concerned with it. He's a driving instructor.
Why do they meet four times a year?
I don't know.
Like, Samhain, specifically.
The solstices.
Samhain.
Yeah, all the solstices.
All right.
If they didn't fuck, right, the seasons wouldn't change.
That's a good point.
That's what I like to say.
That makes perfect sense.
I'm exhausted of talking about this.
I love the specificity of four times a year.
Yeah, it's very, strange.
He doesn't even say about four times a year. He's like, four times a year.
Specifically four times.
Yep.
Jordan, we got to shut this down.
All right.
I am exhausted of talking about this guy who...
Well, as we
I'll
all
honest,
know, aliens live in the temperate zone, yeah. So they prefer four seasons as opposed to two.
Absolutely.
They definitely can't go to the
Antarctica.
China or the, you know, they don't allow like monsoon season.
No.
How dare they?
Can't live in Hawaii.
No. Of course not. Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never go to volcanoes.
So we have a website called knowledgefight.com.
We do.
My way of not trying to submit this episode anymore.
Fine, Dan.
We're on Twitter.
We're on Twitter at knowledge_fight.
We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. You can go to the iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you recommend us to all the Dougs and all the Mikes.
We need them.
We need them desperately.
Yeah.
What else do we got?
Space.
It's fun. You can find us in space.
Yeah. We're hanging out with the mantids.
We are only capable of existing in the fourth dimension, but perhaps someday Knowledge Fight will ascend.
Yes, we're working on it. And the mantids are trying to make it work.
And I think there's only one possible way to end this. I think you have to say, go fuck yourself, insectoids.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.